Everyone wants to feel confident and 100% capable of learning novel things. And yet, we seldom allow new pathways of thinking, feeling, and being to lead our experiences. Live into 5D weekly episodes are akin to personal agency microdosing, perking insights that lead to breakthrough action. In today's episode, NLP coach, educator, intuitive energy healer, Vicki Oleski, is joined by mama entrepreneur, Noelle O'Foster. She mentors other conscious mothers who are ready to make an impact, share their truths, and lead joyful, abundant lives. Noelle's superpower is fueled by practical living applications. Being resourced by presence, Miss O'Foster's parenting style helps diffuse tension, model congruency, and acceptance with another soul path. Thank you for coming along with us today, and thank you to our guests on today's program. Now, let's welcome Noelle O'Foster to Live Into 5D, Waking Up Our Nature. Process with the VIP guests, so
Well,
we were checking in, we were talking so much about happiness and modeling children especially. I have a couple questions that I did not prompt you on, so you are gonna be, you're in the hot seat.
Great. I love it.
You're an entrepreneur, a mother of two, Gia and
Canyon.
You were talking about, parenting from the back seat, but also modeling happiness. And, one of the things that I also have been really noticing is being at peace, cultivating not only happiness, and you were touching on that you didn't use the word peace, but I think what was the word that you used? Presence with your children?
Being present in this day, in this moment. Yeah, I had shared a story from a teaching session that I had with my teacher at the Dharma Center here in Sacramento. My own parents were incredibly talented, really amazing people, musicians and artists and writers and painters and holistic culinary goddess and really accomplished people. So I remember looking at my guru and saying, you know, my parents were amazing and they taught me so much, but they didn't teach me how to be happy. And, is it really about the accomplishments? If we can't even be happy about the accomplishments, what's the point? It's just entirely empty, right? He laughed. He's like, yep, you got it. Move to the front of the class. So,
yeah, exactly. Gold star.
That's right. That's right. So that became a real priority for me was modeling how to be happy, which of course is easier to say than it is to do, you know, being a human being with an ego and baggage and, you know, wounds and all that, right? But having that as a focal point and knowing that they're not going to learn how to do that from my words, they're going to learn to do that from my modeling. But how awesome is that? Now I get to teach and be at the same time, right? It's not bad. It's not a bad situation, you know?
We were talking about earlier with another guest, they were talking about the consensus reality and how happiness can also be not taken in deeply.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of worn. But what I hear you talking about, Noelle, is, you know, a presence that is authentic, that your children can actually feel. It's not happy because they got something. It's happy because you're with them and they feel your presence, you know?
For sure. What a great point that is too. Sometimes it can be worn. Yeah. What a wonderful metaphor. So it's superficial. It's like, yeah, this is a great cup of coffee. Thanks so much. And then you don't taste the next 10 sips. You tasted the first one. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. You take a walk, you notice the sunset, and then for the next 25 minutes, you're thinking about your shopping list and your to-do list and a fight you had and so forth. So that's, I wish I could say that I was taking every moment in, and I'm not. So it's a constant.
It's a constant. With your kids, I really wonder about that, you know, because present and being awakened, you know, that's, you know, so loaded these days. You know, the whole woke culture and the awakening with, you know, so many amazing people, honestly. But like, how do you find that balance for yourself? An entrepreneur, a little bit of your bio, a medical freedom warrior all these years. You know, I know that there are listeners, there are going to be listeners like that are parents, mothers, fathers. It's one reason why I really wanted to have you on the program is really what do you do when things are pulling at you? You know, your kids, you know, you have an amazing business for you to kind of tell us about, like, but when the rubber meets the road, as like a light worker becomes a ground worker.
Yeah.
What do you do?
Wonderful question. So I have noticed, so a lot of people approach challenges with the belief that there's going to be a solution that they can just go to every time and it's going to solve it. And I haven't found that to be the case, although there's a lot of books written by PhDs that say it's going to solve all your problems, whatever the problems are, whether it's parenting or business. And what I've seen for myself is that the only way that I can respond to a situation, a challenge, being pulled, a crisis, optimally, is to be totally resourced myself so that I'm happy and peaceful and to be as present as possible, because the answer is never going to come from my mind. It's never going to come from my ego. It's not going to be a prepackaged, because the algorithm of the universe is, you know, I'm sorry to say to the AI guys, you're never going to hack it, because it's infinite. The universe is ever expanding. So there's no way that they're going to. The closest you can get, in my opinion, my experience, is to be as present as possible so that we are all being a channel for universal wisdom in that moment, which is going to be a different moment 5 minutes from now. And when I can do that, it's so easy. It's so flowful. We have total, you know, beautiful cooperation in the house, and there's no bickering, and I don't have to harangue them. And then there's no, and if there's an imbalance in that, usually it happens because I go into my fear mind and I get worried about an outcome, or I get worried about something in the news or an economy thing, or, you know, medical freedom thing. And it takes me out of my connection to source, and it puts me into my small mind, my ego mind. And then the response, whatever it is that I do in the moment with my children, is not the appropriate action. It's not it's not going to produce the optimum result. And then I can see it immediately. My children are an amazing litmus test for how balanced I am, because it will come right back to me. It will come right back to me, and they'll fight and they'll bicker, and they'll, So it's wonderful to have feedback like that. And then that's kind of my checkpoint. I'm like, oops, okay, guys, I'm so sorry that I upset the energy in the house. I take total responsibility for that. Let's have a reset. Let me go sit down and breathe. Mama's going to take a minute or two. I'm going to go for a walk, be right back. And then I can respond to the moment. And it actually really defuses tension so quickly. So they're my mirror, basically, you know.
Being in the present, being in the now, and also, again, modeling while it's happening to them. Like, mama's going to go take a time out. So sorry, you know, taking responsibility, because I'm not sure, you know, your model, but there's a, you know, in many families, the mother is seen as the main generator, not to discount the husband or the men or the, you know, the fathers or anything like that. But which brings me to another point. So thanks so much for, you know, just really giving us the rawness of what it's like for you.
Yeah, for sure.
When we were talking about today's podcast, you really were very passionate talking about receptivity as mothers and as women.
Yeah.
Remember we were talking about being women, entrepreneurs, business, also being mothers, godmother, you know, and we were talking about the apex and how it's been a theme in the other podcasts too. One gal, Reverend Daly Little, is talking about priestess, being a priestess, and what that actually means versus what it means to be a reverend, being the receptivity, being open, being a channel.
Yes, yes. And I think that that's very connected to what we just spoke about, right? Because if we're getting out of our own way, or you know, very politely encouraging the ego to, thank you so much, you're not needed right at this moment, you can just park over here and be receptive. We don't have to create or invent a much, much easier way to be. The ego gets a little freaked out about it. And you know, we've got to learn how to pacify that, soften it. But if we can soften and open, everything becomes easier. You know, suddenly the answers to our challenges, our interpersonal challenges, our business challenges become a lot clearer. So absolutely, I feel really grateful to be a woman in this lifetime because of that energetic aspect. And of course, no matter whether you are, whatever your gender is, we all have yin and yang. We all have those two energies, and some men have more of the yin energy than not. But I think that that particular aspect of consciousness is probably more so than it ever has been in the history of probably written history. Mm-hmm. You know, dating back, I'm not an anthropologist, so I probably shouldn't talk too much about this, but the studies that I have done of, you know, women and, you know, prehistorical culture, that the mother factor was a lot more revered, was much more revered, you know, then we entered some new ages that were very much about the intellect and the will and power and so forth. And I feel like we are shifting that. So, you know, I'm grateful to be alive during this particular time, even though it has been quite the ride, to see that.
Now that we're here in 2022, with all the different cosmic rays assisting us, photons, plasma, all sorts of different type of electromagnetic energy happening from above the canopy of the stars and the cosmos, and then the center of the earth. As we walk through it, I think that there is, you know, the part that I want to bring in is that receptivity again, with the breakdown that we've all been living through. It's such, and this is a little bit of what we were talking about earlier when we were checking in, such an appropriate time to really let go of the doing. I wonder if you could talk from like being receptive. How does one, I have a plethora of things, but I really do want to hear from you being the mother and being an entrepreneur, successful. What type of things do you do as a practice and exercise technology, so to speak, when you're not with your kids?
Yeah. I'm a big fan of slow country walks by myself.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of grounding and sun gazing on a third eye. I'm a big fan of solitude, which is, you know, not sexy. But I think if there's too much noise and static, even though it may be exciting, very beautiful noise and static, if there's too much of it, it's very difficult to hear the broadcast that's specifically meant for us, for me, for you. Like, we have our own, you know, we're all here occupying a different spot in the mandala, you know. Like, I can't, it's not best for me to walk over and occupy somebody else's spot, you know. It's leaving my spot vacant. So what's the broadcast for me? And if I'm too noisy, I can't hear it. I like breathing meditation. Yeah, those are pretty much my go-tos. I love slow walks. Usually I take them actually at sunset. The world is quieting down, and there's the energy of abatement rather than acceleration, which I think is why I like to walk at the end of the day rather than the beginning of the day. Some people, it's the other way around. But anything that a person could do that will require them to just be quiet and receptive and listen. So, you know, some people are very, very busy. They're not accustomed to slowing down. It may be uncomfortable for them. Walking is nice because it is meditative, and it's doing something, so the ego doesn't have to be completely freaked out. But it's quiet enough and simple enough and connected enough to earth and sky that some things can come through.
I'm a walker too. I think that's an amazing embodied practice. And really, I think that the embodiment practices, just what you just spoke about, is so, so powerful. You know, just going out for an evening walk, morning walk, being contemplative. A lot of the great composers, Mozart used to walk constantly. Some of their biggest work came to them while they were walking. I know for me, taking a walk does kind of occupy and move my body, you know, but at the same time, it kind of slows me down. Even if I'm walking, my mind just starts to kind of wander off. Tell us about your business, your water business.
Yeah, I'd love to tell you about that a little bit. So I would just like frame this in this perspective. By the time I got to motherhood, I was not young, you know, and I had done so many things. And one of the aspects that I really wanted to model for my children was balance and being like a whole integrated human being, not somebody who had, you know, their parenting over here and they had their business over here and they had their friendship over here and they had their which is right.
Thank you, Noelle. I mean that. That's like hardcore human living. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, you know, to be honest, it was self-preservation, because I realized at a certain point that, you know, maybe because I was an older mother and my capacity to hustle was not where it was once was, right? Maybe because, yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
I know, I'm sorry to laugh, but it's like, oh yeah, right? Oh yeah, we know that.
Yeah, so we're not the hustlers that we used to be. And also I wanted to enjoy the process. And I thought one day, this was, I think I was nursing my son and I was just lying there and I was kind of in and out of sort of, you know, brainwave shifting. I can never remember what the Dr. Joe says about the higher states of consciousness and our brains change, which stage is that? But I'm certainly was, what is that?
Theta is where you're learning.
Yeah.
Theta is where you're, you know, like more active. So
theta.
Yeah. So it's theta is where you learn, you like contemplative, you take in. Theta is like that in between when you're falling asleep, waking up state.
Yeah. Beautiful. So the veil is kind of opening, right? Right. So I remember having this download of like, hey, you know, this is really great that you're making sure everybody else is enjoying themselves. What about you? Are you enjoying yourself? Mm-hmm. Is there any reason why you think you shouldn't enjoy yourself? If you want your children to enjoy themselves, maybe you better do something about this. So so really I decided that what I was going to do was I was going to create a lifestyle where everything was in balance and integrated. And I had never seen an example of that. There are more examples now. Not that they didn't exist, but I just didn't see them. They weren't, I didn't have exposure to that. And so that was my guiding principle was balance. And so, and congruency with my soul, right? I was not going to do a job that didn't fall in with my values. And I was not going to do a job that was fell in with my values, but didn't pay me, because that's an old model too. That's the slave codes, right? That's the,
right.
Yeah, that's the 3D system.
Yep.
So, when I found out about, this particular water technology, and that it was based on, it's replicating a natural process, which is the optimal state of water, actually. And, but this particular, because our stewardship of the earth has not been excellent, there's only a handful of places in the world where you can get this water. And it's living water. It does not have a shelf life. So, that this technology was able to replicate this process and produce this water that had incredible health transformative qualities in it. And it has an amazing compensation program. So I knew I was going to be paid well, and I knew I could do it through the internet. So therefore that gave me my time, freedom to be with my kids and live in the country, which we do, was kind of like the perfect sort of combination. And that I also didn't have to neglect my other passions. You know, we've done a writing project together. Writing is a passion of mine. Mm-hmm. So it felt quite natural. And that we are 70 to 80% water, and it's the ideal medium for all energy of the universe. And I'm a yogini, so clearly I need to be hydrated optimally, right?
That is so powerful. So powerful for people to really understand that 70 to 80%, we are water.
Yeah.
So we also think about our thoughts, how they magnify in water, we are mostly water, how that magnifies not only outside of us, but in us, ourselves. I know, I think Joe Dispenza talks a lot about that, right?
Yeah, Joe Dispenza, another wonderful scientist, Dr. Emoto from Japan. There's an incredible documentary called The Secret of Water, which talks about Dr. Emoto's science and studies that memory is stored in water and vibration is stored in water. And so if we're not optimally hydrated, it's hard to detox both physically and emotionally. So water is a purification.
I would think emotionally, you know, is really top on that, because emotion, energy and motion. So that, that water is so helpful for that stuff.
Yeah. Fully. I mean, think about tears, right? Tears when they're allowed to flow freely and are not judged is a purification.
Right. Right. Have you seen the women drummers drumming on water?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. When I first saw that, I was like, that is so powerful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wielding water power. Yeah, absolutely. So I think that, and the other thing that I wanted to mention here that your viewership, if they don't already have this practice, I think it's mentioned in the Celestine Prophecies, but you can speak your truth into a glass of water and then drink it. And that truth will inform your cells, which is such a simple practice and so cool, right? So speak your affirmations into a glass of water, drink it, right?
Right. Like, okay. So this is why I wanted to have this podcast, Live Into 5D. This is the practical applications of what this is all about for me, is to talk into your water, to affirm, intend into our food, breaking bread with people, you know, raising a glass of water, you know, just so simple, 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 and yet so, so deeply profound.
Absolutely. Yeah. To become joyful and balanced. I really am hesitant to use the word enlightenment, because I don't think enlightenment is a final destination. Thich Nhat Hanh says it's a practice, right? It's a constant activity. It's a, you know, but we could use that word, for practicality. The way to get to those places, getting to them again and again and again, is very simple. And the more complex we are, probably the further away we're going to be, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. You know, getting there, you know, it's like, you know, I was there. Yeah, you were, like, you know, a minute ago, right? Or just right there, you know, it's, again, I think, you know, the beautiful part of what I hear you doing, the other guests, colleagues, friends, family, you know, gal pals, boy pals, is that it is really a practice. It's really a practice. And when we can remind each other that sometimes this slope is slippery, sometimes we, you know, skin our knee, we do go down the rabbit hole. We do slip down the hill. We do fall.
Yeah.
And, you know, to just take a moment and recalibrate.
Yeah.
I think is really very empowering, very powerful. And it's a moment of letting it all go. You know,
yeah. Yes.
Letting our perfections all go.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I'm talking because I've had some really good practice at that, you know?
Yeah.
Like failing is a good thing.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
That is so key to, you know, being receptive, all the things that we were talking about, you modeling with your kids. Failing is good. Success is good too. It always feels good too, but to learn how to fail gracefully and accept our shortcomings.
Yeah, absolutely. Love yourself, warts and all. Love yourself in your foibles and your victories. Yeah, I think that's really hugely, I don't know if I can elucidate that even more elegantly than you did, but that's certainly something that I try to model for my kids. And you know, having compassion for myself when I fall short of my own aspirations, right? Oh, and yeah, not only apologizing, but also, you know, being kind to myself. Yeah. And so that's,
you know, apologizing. Yeah. You know, Noelle, apologizing to ourselves feels good.
Yes.
You know, yes. It's feeling to kind of go, I screwed up. I messed up. You know, you know, that Ho'oponopono thing. Wow.
Absolutely. Oh yeah. So opening. Yeah.
That, you know, that receptivity that you spoke about.
Yeah. Yeah. And you had touched on before the subject of, you know, whether or not our parents were good apologizers. And I think there's a generational thing. I've noticed with baby boomers in general, and probably there's a lot of variation to be specific, reticence to apologize. I know with both of my parents, they were not good apologizers. My father is still not a good apologizer. And I think, but I actually suspect it comes from being harshly criticized themselves. You know, when I reflect on my own times when I was defensive and I was not receptive to somebody bringing a grievance to me and then taking responsibility, when I reflect on that and I look at like that little tender underbelly, like, okay, I love you. What's at the bottom of this now? It's usually the feeling of the ego being so kind of assaulted that it felt the need to, right, puff up, defend, right? So even having compassion for my parents who couldn't apologize, why couldn't they apologize? Well, they couldn't apologize because they were so kind of beaten down, which was just the times, you know. Mm-hmm. There's no bad, good, there's no villain. There's no villain here.
Right.
But the, you know, advent of conscious parenting shifted that, right? So then we see people that are actually able to take responsibility for their actions, but also be kind to themselves, right? And that makes it easier for my son now to say, I'm sorry, because he doesn't feel like in saying, I'm sorry, that he's saying, well, I'm a terrible person. I know I'm a good person and I made a mistake and I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. It just can be a marker for any of us, a stopper to redirect, recalibrate, and, you know, kind of collect our presence. Thank you so much, Noelle. See you again.
Bye-bye. Bye.